What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. And I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like Neanderthal staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
They ain't ready. All right, and welcome back to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I am J.Dot Flan, and across from me is my brother, Rich Nerd, and we are the White Pan Society. I think we're on episode
75,
getting geriatric with these. Oh, man, it's been a minute since we've been in here. How's everything been with you, bro?
Can't complain. Life is life.
All right, let's go ahead and pay these bills real quick. As usual, ttcharities.org. Please check out the website, see what programs they have going on. I know he's doing like backpacks and things for, you know, the kids going back to school. I remember last year he did like a haircut drive, tried to get haircuts for kids going back to school. I'm not sure if they're gonna do that again this year, but regardless, I know they have some sort of good program going on right now to help the people with your back to school needs. So please check out ttcharities.org. Donate what you can, time, money, clothes, books, toys, whatever it is that they need. Even a repost or retweet helps.
Anything helps.
And then Rena's Cakeys. If you don't know what a cakey is, it is like it's the size and shape of a cookie, but the texture of a cake with icing on it. They come in several different flavors. They're all delicious and beyond cakeys. She does all your other baked goods. I'm talking pies, elaborately decorated cakes, wedding cakes, macaroons. I don't know. She did some petite fours or something. She did some petite fours the other day, which I don't even know what those are, but
look good, though.
They look vicious. So, RenasCakeys.com. That's RINAS Cakeys.com. And then last but not least, our brother Alex at CelebrityHairCorp.com. Ladies, enhance your own natural beauty with Celebrity Hair Corp human hair extensions. Let them make you look like the star that you are. Always with the added benefit of no tax and free express shipping for all orders. That's CelebrityHairCorp.com. Go get your bundles.
Yeah, but yeah, I always wonder what the overhead. You picking up all the, not free shipping, but free express shipping and the tax?
Yeah.
So then it's like, do you just slightly increase the price in order to offset the fact that, you know, that stuff is coming out of it?
We're going to have to pick Alex's brain on his business practices one day. Find out.
Yeah, because inquiring exactly knows when to know, money?
But yeah, so I had something strange happen today.
I was waiting for this. I saw it on the docket, and I was like, what the fuck? I was waiting for this story.
Hey, so, I think we've been talking through all these episodes, and, you know, and I've discovered that I'm just like a different type of dude. I live by a different set of rules than a lot of people. I don't know if it's cultural. I don't know if it's where I grew up. I don't know where it comes from, but I seem to be a strange person. Something strange happened to me today. So I'm in the bathroom. I'm in the store. I told you that's where I do some good thinking. I go to get away from my desk, to get away from it all, be by myself, you know, handle my bathroom duties. But a lot of times I just go in there to chill, clear my head. And so I'm in there. And one, I need to address this before I get into the main topic of this story. Is people, we grown. At this age, you know what your system can and cannot handle. Now, I understand you got those certain foods that you know you can't handle, but you eat them anyway because they like your favorite food. That's your happy meal. That's where you go for comfort and stuff. But save that shit for when you at home.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, save that shit for when you at home. Don't eat that stuff you know you can't stomach at the job and then come in there and punish all of us because you couldn't wait till you got home to have, I don't know, that McDonald's hamburger or something, whatever, because, you know, McDonald's is going to do it to you every time. Stay away from that shit. So anyway, that's beside the point. I'm in there, and then, you know, I'm leaving. I had my little moment. I got to meditate a little bit, and I'm leaving. And I noticed that there was a dude, like, standing outside of the stall waiting for me to come out so he could go in. And it's
aren't there multiple stalls though?
It's my, I guess the other stall was being taken up by somebody who made the wrong cuisine choice.
Got it.
For lunch that day. And that just struck me as weird. Because right, here's my thing, Rich. If I don't want to know the person whose ass cheeks was last on the on the seat, I don't want to see you and then now have to go in and sit where you just sat.
Yeah, that's...
I know somebody sat there before me, but I don't want to know
that's a little
who
bit,
you are.
It's too personal.
Yeah, and it's a big building. If I go into the, if I go into a bathroom and all the stalls are filled and it's and I need to use a stall,
I go to another
bathroom. I'm gonna go to another bathroom. I'm not gonna chill, especially with what the dude next to me was doing. I ain't gonna sit in there and wait for that stall to come free.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. One, I don't want to be in there. I didn't want to be in there. That's why I was leaving, because dude was getting busy next to
me. Yeah, killing it.
He was killing it. So I was leaving. So I, and then I don't want that kind of personal one-on-one relationship with the person who I'm getting ready to
making
sit with.
Making all types of eye contact.
Right.
I can't do. First of all, maybe I'm weird. I hate when people use the stall next to me. I hate that. I feel like the same courtesy you get at the urinal, you should have at the stalls. Now, if you maxed out, and I've done this, if I get in there and it's like the first one is used, the last one is used, and it's only one in the middle, well, goddammit, I still walk and find the other one. Like, I'm not trying to slot between you and the copper squad. That just don't make no sense. It's just etiquette.
Right. Unfortunately, we got a two-stall situation.
Oh, no. Mm.
So, yeah, if you really got to go that bad,
you got to go.
You got no choice but to,
see,
but to be
if,
right
if
next
I time. Really had to go, I would absolutely go. And a two-stall situation.
Yeah.
I would not absolutely stand there and embrace the fumes of the bathroom while I wait.
Why you wait?
And I wouldn't wait at the stall. I would wait over, like, by the door, by the sink, if I was even gonna wait. So, I'm not gonna stand like, hey, excuse me, sir, are you finished yet? Like, get the fuck out of here. No.
I just realized that I just live by a different code. And, like, that just struck me. Like, I could not be that dude. There's no way I'd be standing there waiting to take your spot in the stall. Like, I don't know. I know it's petty. It's me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe people could tell me if you feel the same way. But I just thought that was the strangest fucking thing.
I think that's too personal, because as soon as you sit down, not only you finish using it, but now the seat is going to be hot.
Seat still warm.
And you saw the person. You know what I don't. I've been in a happy relationship for several years now. I don't want to go to the bathroom after my fiance. I go to the other bathroom.
Other bathroom.
Thank God for two bathrooms in the household. And we ain't had this second bathroom, sometimes a third bathroom in an apartment. I don't know what I do, but it's rules.
You know, the fucked up thing about being in a long-term relationship and cohabitating situations is you know what the person did. Like, just even if they spray and and you got the poopery or whatever you got in there.
I get that poopery.
You got the poopery to cover it up. If they go to the bathroom and 5 minutes go by and they still in the bathroom, you know what's
going
on. Yeah,
you already know what's up.
And you feel some kind of way following that up, whether you can smell it or not. I mean, that's
true.
Just me.
It's the subconscious.
It's a subconscious thing.
That's just like automatically I go to the other bathroom. And so, you good.
All right, we're going to stop talking about shit for a while.
Yeah, literally.
All right, what's going on with you, Rich?
No, actually, surprisingly, outside of work, I've been good. We had that get-together on, what was that, Saturday?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out, happy belated
for
to Larry.
Sir Larry's birthday. So that was pretty good. But other than that,
was the craziest. Did y'all ever finish that game of Monopoly? Like, I didn't see no
end
in sight.
It was too many ups and downs. People was dry. How you draw snitching at Monopoly? Like, you can't. That shit was unconventional. We should have just played Cards Against Humanity or something and called it a day. Which reminds me, I keep meaning to buy a pack of those.
Yeah, that was the craziest Monopoly game I ever had the pleasure of experiencing. I didn't even know all the rules.
Like, mm-hmm.
I felt real suburban. Like we playing hood rules. And I'm like, huh? What are the hood rules to Monopoly?
Yeah, but other than that, I've been good. Outside of these couple of stories we're about to talk about, because watching the news this week, it's like, it's almost like, you know, God damn it, I don't want to hear nothing else.
Yeah,
but then you can't tune it out. Like, you gotta lie, nah, fuck it. What else is he? What else is happening? What else is he doing? It's always something else.
I think I have done a good job of tuning out. I mean, and we'll get into it. So I'll let you introduce the topic.
And so this first one we're going to hit on. You can't have a show without hitting on this week. The whole situation in Charlottesville and Trump's non-support in this situation. Basically, there was a protest in Charlottesville. Members of the KKK, a.k.a. the alt-right, a.k.a. neo-Nazis, neo-fascists, white supremacists, whatever you want to call them. Listen, they lumped together. They're all the same thing. Went to follow the procedures. You know, they got a permit to hold their rally, which I don't know how that passed, but they legally got a permit so they can hold this rally. There you go. I was kind of low and then it popped up just now. Pause. And they held a rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. And during the rally, just violence ensued. Violence on behalf of the ralliers, violence on behalf of the protesters. A man ended up getting in his car, running it into the crowd, killed one protester, injured 19 others. And it's just a bunch of BS all over the place. And in response, Trump said, hey, you know, there was fault on both sides. And, you know, we as Americans have to do better. And I just, that wasn't enough for me. I don't know. He should have publicly denounced what they were doing. You know, you had a license to hold your rally. You didn't have a license to spew that rhetoric. You didn't have a license to incite violence or anything else that ensued. You didn't have definitely didn't have a license to kill anybody. So I'm just kind of taken aback by this one.
You know, like, I mean, one, I want to say it's tragic. You know, you had a young lady out there, you know, protesting for us, you know, trying to do some good. You know, I think her parents said, you know, she has, you know, because it was the young lady that passed away was white. Yeah. You know, like, you know, she has African-American friends and Latino friends, and she's just tired of seeing her friends be the target, you know, of some of this stuff. So she decided to do something about it. And, you know, unfortunately, she lost her life in the process. So, you know, I do want to, it's a tragedy. But the whole situation with Trump, and at first he didn't denounce it. Then it took him 48 hours to come back and specifically identify the groups and denounce these groups. And then right when you thought, oh, you know, okay, it took him 48 hours. We're going to be mad about the time it took him to denounce the groups. Then he comes back and just like, you know what? Nah, everybody's fucked up. Y'all fucked up. And he made up a term, the alt-left, trying to create this false equivalency between, you know, the white supremacist group and people who don't like white supremacists, or people who don't like bigotry. Like, somehow you equivalent to the bigots because you fighting against bigotry. When, you know,
it makes no damn sense.
Bigotry is wrong in itself. Being against something wrong does not make you as wrong as the thing that's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, that don't put you on the same level. But nothing he... This is what I'm saying. Nothing... This is par for the course. This is...
Nothing, yeah.
This is Donald Trump. This is the same rhetoric and shit he was spewing when he was campaigning. Like, we keep acting surprised that he says this stuff and that he doesn't lose support. But this was the stuff that got him there in the first place. I mean, he's not going to come off this, you know, this train of lunacy.
Speaking of trains, so did you see the post
that he made? I saw the post on the train hitting the CNN reporter. And, I mean, that was in poor taste again. But this is he's pandering to a specific audience. And I mean, and I said this when we were talking about like how he won. The stuff that he puts out there that we and a lot of sane people find to be reprehensible is the same stuff that the people who back him and love him and support him and want to make America great again rally behind and pump their fists for. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't give a shit that we think is, because that's not, we're not the people that's keeping him in power. The people that's keeping him in power are happy with what he's doing. They stand behind the statements that he made the other day. They agree with. And the other thing that's happening, which goes back to, you know, something I said before, is that it's like we keep bashing him. I remember Patrice O'Neill talking about Obama, and he was telling white people, like, white people, if y'all would just stop openly hating him, there might be more black people on your side that don't agree with some of his policies. Like, You know, I'm not saying I don't agree with Obama's policies, but Patrice, the joke he was trying to make was that there are black people who are just as angry about some of the things Obama is doing, but because you standing there outwardly hating them, they can't side with you. Like, if you would just shut the fuck up, then they could come out and say, you know, I don't like this, I don't like this. But they can't be, they can't, they don't want to agree with you, you know?
Exactly.
So, and I feel like that's where we are. Like, every time he does some dumb shit and then we start harping on it and jumping on it, like, it forces those people to either dig in. It forces them to dig in. They're not gonna stand up and say, you know what, I was wrong, I shouldn't have voted for it. It's very few. I know at like one that, you know, will stand up now and say, you know what, I was absolutely wrong. I got bamboozled. I got caught up in the moment. I fell for the bullshit. I was wrong. Should never voted for this dude. The majority of the people are just gonna keep digging in. You're just part of the false media, and you're just part of this alt left now, because we got this term. You know, the people who don't like him are the people that they've been fighting to get from under. You know, they've been fighting to get around. Like, we're the problem. We've always been the problem. And the more we keep saying he's the problem, the more we're proving that we're the problem. So it's like, we might have to just let the nigga, let him die. Like, just let him kill him. Let him hang himself. Like, we don't have to keep saying how dumb it is. Just let it be dumb. Like,
to a certain extent, I can agree. Like, nothing is going to change until that party decides, you know what, we can't ride this train anymore. You know, something has to be done. They need to separate themselves from him, because he's single-handedly bringing down the Republican Party. Period. It's all on Trump at this point. He's running the train off the tracks. And we do need more people to stand up and say, you know what, he is fucking up. You know, I'm not going to blindly throw my support behind him. You know, I hear what people are saying, and now that it's died down a little bit, you know, and I can listen and see what's going on. You know, you're right.
Hey, but they're not going to do it if it's seen as jumping to the other side. Like, people are not going to change sides, because this got so, it got so confrontational. It was, you know, the they were the deplorables. You know, like, there were so many ugly things that went back and forth from each side, that at this point, nobody's gonna cross the line and say, I was over here, and now I'm admitting that all of this stuff I said all of this time was wrong, and I now agree with you guys. No, they kind of, like, and that's a Trump thing. Has Trump ever said he was wrong?
Nope.
You catch him in a blatant lie, and he'll find a way to finesse it where, like, that's not what I said. But I mean, like, you can say, you just said your shoes were gray. Like, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. You can play it back. My shoes are gray. I didn't say that.
For Trump,
like, and the Trump supporters, you can't make a compelling enough argument to sway them to your side. They're never going to agree with us. I think we put them in a situation where they can't agree with us. We lose too much face at this point to cross over to the other side of the line. So rather than, you know, every time he do something, try to find a way to frame the argument, to be like, look, guys, you know, look, you know, this dude is insane. Like, that's their dude. And us calling him insane probably just garners him more support in their eyes. Like, you just got to let them come to the conclusion that he's insane at some point, and hope that happens. But trying to push him that way, like, through, you know, words, or especially through the media, because the media is, you know, I don't know, they hate the media. But, yeah, I guess that's my point. Long short of.
Valid statement.
I don't know. All right, so moving on from that, but in the same sort of vein. So we had the situation that happened in Charlottesville, you know, and then we see that the Kaepernick situation in the NFL has grown. Like, he has a legacy now, and you have, I guess, other players not so much taking up, you know, his mantle exactly. Like, they're not doing it because Kaepernick did it, or for the same reasons that Kaepernick did it. But players are now saying, you know, I am going to take a stance on stuff, and I am going to stand up and do something. And if the anthem is going to be my silent protest, that's going to be my silent protest. But we saw, you know, this last week in two preseason games, we saw Michael Bennett sit or kneel for the anthem, and we saw Marshawn Lynch sit for the anthem. Now, the crazy thing with Marshawn Lynch is that, and I don't know if this is true. I really need to. I wish somebody would go back and, like, can we review every game he ever played for his entire NFL career? But he says he's been doing this his whole career. He sits for the anthem. Like, it's not, this was not a statement. This was not him trying to say anything other than him just being who he is. And that could very well be the case. Marshawn.
That's some Marlins type shit.
It'd be weird because, you know, last year when Kaepernick was doing it and this became, you know, this huge thing, well, that was the first year, you know, in a while that Marshawn wasn't in the league. So if this was something that he, like, if he had been doing this last year when Kaepernick was doing it, like, this all would have become something. But just so happens last year, Marshawn's not in the league. Kaepernick, you know, starts kneeling. The Kaepernick thing becomes a big deal. Like, if Marshawn had been doing this for 11 years, you know, is it just we didn't care because he was a beast? Because he was beast mode? Like, is this another talent trumps morals situation?
That's what I was about to say. Is it talent trumps morals, or is it the fact that he wasn't making us think about it? It was more so if Marshawn was in fact doing this. Like, you know what? I'm Marshawn Lynch. I don't want to do this, so therefore I'm not. Whereas Cap was saying, you know what? This is an injustice. I'm going to speak out. And he was overly boisterous about it.
And I said, I don't think he was. I think he said something. He said why he was doing it, like, the first time when he was asked about it. And then after that, they ran with it. Like, it wasn't like Cap was jumping up in front of the cameras, you know, every week saying, hey, again, you know, black people being shot in the street, as you know, I'm taking a knee. It's just like we kept talking about it. Like, Cap told you what his reasons were because somebody asked, you know, and then he didn't stand on the soapbox. Like, even with all the stuff he's doing right now, you know, for people, he's not going out trying to publicize it. Like, if we find out about it, it seems to be because, you know, somebody just happened to be interested enough to report it. But
I mean, personally, I think it's a talent trumps morals kind of thing. But, you know, gotta point out all the facts.
You know what I'm saying, if Marshawn has been sitting for 11 years and nobody was boycotting motherfucking Seahawks games,
and he's still working,
and he came back, is it just because he's a motherfucking beast? And he's a superstar, and Cap was not a superstar at that particular point in his career. And so, you know, you can't get away with doing something. And I think that was, I forget where I was having the conversation about the Kaepernick situation, but, you know, that was the point that someone was trying to make, was that the whole, you know, yeah, Kaepernick is being blackballed, but it shouldn't be that much outrage and everything. Like, this should be something you expect. It's like if you're mediocre at your job, you know, you can't be the guy that comes in late every day.
Yeah, no.
Because you probably gonna get fired. You know, if you're essential, if you've proven to be like the superstar at your job, then people will look the other way when you mess up, when you do something, you know, because they need you at the job. And I kind of, like, as soon as I made that analogy, I'm like, that's a bad analogy. Because kneeling in silent protest, you know, for an injustice that you see, is not the same as coming in late to work. Like, coming in late to work is something wrong. Kaepernick did nothing wrong. He just did something that his bosses didn't like, I guess.
And you're right, man. But Marshawn Lynch, he's the type. He's the type of player that his whole career he's been doing shit that his bosses don't like. Yeah. But
he's fucking
Marshawn Lynch.
He's a fucking personality. Like, he can do that type of shit, and it, like, I think his whole protest to not wanting to talk to the media became more of
a
media attraction. Like, he became a bigger attraction for the media because he wouldn't speak to the media. Like, I don't remember giving a shit what Marshawn had to say after a game until he started saying, I'm only here so I don't get fined. And then it just became the greatest media spectacle of all time. And I guess that was good for the NFL, so, you know, why we not gonna get mad? People are actually watching the post game press conference because they just want to hear Marshawn say, "I'm just here so I won't get fired." But then let's speak on the other guy who actually said he was doing it for a reason. Michael Bennett said that he was sitting out for the anthem because of what was happening in Charlottesville, and to stand up for the fact that he believes that, you know, people of color are being, you know, unjustly killed, and I mean, even in Charlottesville, wasn't a person of color that got killed, but that his protest was about what's happening racially and what's happening racially in this country right now, and that he wanted, I mean, he went as far to say he wanted, you know, black people and white people to sit down and talk together and stuff like that. I find myself having a hard time listening to Michael Bennett, because as genuine and man, and as righteous I think his cause is, he sounds like a football player when he talks. Like, he sounds like a dumb jock. I'm sorry, I was trying to find like the nice way to say it, but he sounds like he's been in the concussion protocol a couple times when he speaks. Like, it to me, it sounds like he's trying to, and I know,
see, that's what they're gonna say. Yeah. You know, when they finally, you know, jump up to discredit what he's doing.
I know what he's trying to say, and I know, you know, like, he's trying to find the eloquent way to put it, but it don't always, like, I cringe sometimes when I hear Michael Bennett speak, and I wish I didn't feel that way, because I think he's a great guy, and I think, you know, he's a great player, and I really feel like he's genuine in everything that he does. I just don't like to hear him talk. You ever have people like that you just don't want to speak?
Yeah, no, just
like,
don't
say anything, dude. Like,
especially not something that's supposed to hold weight and be a tangible subject.
Yeah, don't say anything important. Like, you can say,
you're going to ruin my stance.
Tell us what you had for lunch today, but don't say anything about. But, I mean, you know, somebody's got to do it, and he's doing it. Of all the guys in that Seattle locker room, the fact that it has to be Michael Bennett, like, you know, Richard Sherman is, I think he has a degree in communication or something like that. Like, here's your chance. You know, he was one of the outspoken people. Like, you know, say so. I guess he has been saying a lot. Let me not put that on Richard. But he ain't take no needle. I don't know. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't think the NFL was ready for the fact that, you know, you might blackball Cap. You might keep him out the league. But that's not the end of this.
Yeah, they were like, you know, all we got to do is get through this one. Yeah. And we got them. Nope.
Nah, it's not the end of this.
Like, you mean there's other free thinkers out here?
So how do you feel about, there have been people now that are saying, like, the move is not people boycotting the NFL. It's like,
that's because that was never going to happen.
It was never going to happen. But, like, people are now saying we need to hold the other black players in the league accountable and say,
That has more weight.
It has more weight. Because right now what they're saying, like, you know, if just one team, if the Seattle Seahawks, if every black player, not even every black player, let's say Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, say all of them decided, Doug Baldwin, they all said, I'm not playing until the NFL addresses, you know, till something gets better. I think something
that would actually cause waves, yeah.
Something happened.
They'd have no choice but to listen.
But I mean, are we, you know, do we put that responsibility on those guys? Like, are they supposed to go that far?
Are they supposed to hold that weight for us? I mean, I feel like once you get into those positions of power, it's kind of mandated. You know what I mean? Just like us right now, the fact that we have a voice, are all, you know, issues our issue? No. But seeing as how we have a platform, however small, I feel like it is our duty to shed light on issues. With that being said, it's just you and I. We're in agreement that we're going to do this, and it's our show. We can get on the show and talk all the shit we want. With these NFL players, it can't be just Cap or just Michael Bennett or just Marshawn Lynch. If it happens, it has to be a unified stance. You have to have players across the league saying, no, this is how I feel. I'm going to speak out. This is what we're going to do. Because once you get that onesie-twosie, gets blackballed, cast to the side, just like Cap. And then, you know, okay, fine, Cap is out. But now we have, what, two players? It can't just be two players. It has to be a unified stance.
Anyway, but Cap was easy to blackball. Like, Cap, Kaepernick not being
in it. We need actual. I'm not saying that Cap is not talented. He's more talented than some of these people who's getting contracts.
Right, right.
But you need more Marshawn Lynches
out here doing this. To do it. Because you can't, like you said, you can't just push Marshawn out the league.
Yeah, no. You need actual people with talent trying to talk about their morals.
Cap got here. Just because we've been hard on Cap. Cap, you, I think.
Pause.
I forget who said it, but like, there are only a certain number of human beings on the planet that could play quarterback in the NFL, and Colin Kaepernick is one of those people.
I'm not gonna lie. I played football. Everybody's played football, but you know what I mean. In like school, like I played organized sports.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who used to be. You know how hard it is to be a motherfucking quarterback. I get that shit up quick. I'd be a halfback all day. Yeah. But yeah, it's a hard position. But he was a pretty good quarterback. I'm not saying he was great, but he was a pretty good quarterback. And I don't think he deserves what he's getting right now, but you can't force somebody to give him a job.
And then, before we get off this topic, people, let that white bald shit go. If I hear one more motherfucker talking about somebody being white bald, we know what the term is, man. You don't got to find something in it. You don't got to find something.
I feel like that's almost more offensive.
White ball.
Yeah, because now you feel like, what, I'm too emotional. I can't handle the term. No. You ain't got to switch everything.
You ain't got to flip everything. You ain't got to find some kind of way to be. I don't know. It's like it's a world full of Don Kings or something. Just that we've been white balled only in America. Nah, just the fuck up, man. Term is black ball. We know what it is. Moving on. All right, so segue game on 1,000. In this vein of responsibility and you know, and the weight that men have to carry, Jay-Z dropped another footnote.
Footnotes. Many faces of God.
Many faced God. And I think the topic they discussed in this footnote video was that whole the idea of masculinity, the weight that it puts on men, trying to live up to the idea of what a man should be, and then how, you know, how whether or not the women and the people in our lives understand that weight and what that turns us into in relationships, and you know how that works in relationships. I think one of the great questions in the footnote was they asked people to grade themselves morally. Now what I couldn't figure out, because it sounded like some people were answering it, how do they grade themselves morally in relationships, and some people seem to be answering it overall. So I don't know, you want to take one.
So that's why I listed both, because it's like, I think that they can be mutually separate. Okay. Well, yeah, I think they can be separate from one another. They don't have to be all encompassing. Because if you're going to take it all encompassing, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people will fail that test.
I like what people were saying. Like, anybody who says they're A, it's a piece of shit.
You're lying. It's impossible.
Or you're either that, you're either so annoying that nobody wants to be around.
Mm-hmm. I hate those people.
I think we know one. I'm calling them out. B. Quit with all the fucking kumbaya, everything's happy shit. It's fucking annoying, nigga. Be foul sometime, or let people say foul shit around you and just nod and smile with that. Stop.
I see where you're coming from.
Stop seeing the silver lining in every goddamn thing and telling me, if I'm complaining, don't say, but you know, look at what you had. No, I don't want to look at what I have. I want to look at what's wrong.
I think B is in a place where he's just trying to be positives at all costs. All right.
Well, just don't be positive around me. just keep that shit from around me, B. All right, B. People complain every day, B.
So Bet, how would you rate yourself morally, and then how would you rate yourself as a mate?
Morally, I'm gonna say I'm in the DF arena. I'm trying, I think I have a long way to go. I think I have to grade myself that low, because I look at how much I've discovered in just, you know, since we've been doing this podcast, about myself that I want to change in terms of how I interact with people, how I treat people, how I look at things. I really am trying to be a person that's more understanding of other people. I'm a person, I'm gonna say this, 99.9% of people I can't motherfucking stand. I don't like you. Like, I come across as a real friendly. I think people think I'm a real friendly, nice guy. People talk to me all the time.
It's that mask.
And they don't know. I hate your fucking guts. I wish you would not. Like, I don't want you to speak to. If I could figure out the look on my face that causes people to come talk to me, I would change it. Because I don't want you to talk to me. But I'm trying to become a person that is more like, you know what, if people find something friendly about me, or people see something in me that they want to be around and they want to talk to and they want to communicate with, that I need to embrace that and look at that as a blessing and embrace people and talk to them. I do it, but I do it reluctantly. I do it and I come home and tell my wife, you know, how much I can't stand these motherfuckers every day. Y'all have no idea. If Tammy told you the things I say about you people,
I believe it. I hate fucking Richard. Motherfucker. No, I believe it.
There are people that I like, people that I love. I got, you know, I got family and friends. But most people, and this would be the dumbest reasons. I told you, like, you wear flip flops and socks, I don't fuck with you. It just happened. I just see, if you don't swing your arms when you walk, we can't be friends. Understand that. Understand that no matter how nice I am to you, I secretly think you're a demon, and I will never be that close. If you don't swing your arms when you walk, that's the weirdest shit in the world to me. And it'll make me just dislike you. That'll be enough reason for me never, you will never be able to overcome that. Nothing you would ever do to make me think, oh, okay, he don't swing his arms, but he is a genuinely decent person. So you see all the foul stuff I just said, Rich? These are the reasons why I would mark myself as a D or F morally. But because I know how far in the hole I am, pause, morally, I look at all the growth. Got room to grow. I'm trying.
I think I'd probably give myself. So I know I'm not an asshole. Well, I can be an asshole. I'm not an asshole.
I'll let you know, Rich. Go ahead. Say what you got to
say. I feel like I can probably give myself maybe a C. C, C minus. All right. You know what I mean? I feel like I have a strong moral compass. Here's the issue with my moral compass, though. I'm not going to blame it on my upbringing. I'm going to blame it on where I'm from, New York City. You know what I mean? So being from New York, you see so much shit that you question everything. I've seen homeless people and hungry people, and you know, you want to go to them and they ask for money, but you ain't got that money right now. But you know, they saying that they're hungry and you give them a sandwich. For them to stand up, spike the sandwich on the floor like a football and say, motherfucker, I asked you for a dollar. I want no fucking sandwich. And they, you know, curse you up. So what, any other person, that would fuck up your moral compass. You know what I mean? So I become jaded. I'm easily jaded because it's like, you could be lying. He could be hungry, but he could have a car. You know, his car could be better than my car. What if his car is better than my car? You know, what if I have heated seats in my car? What if he has heated and air-conditioned seats? I'm not paying for this motherfucker's air-conditioned seats. Go the other way.
So with that said, I'm upgrading myself to a C-minus now. I'm going with a good C-minus.
I know you've seen some shit in fucking D.C.
Seen some shit, but it doesn't... Like, I guess that hasn't affected me. And Tammy hates this about me, because we'll see, you know, a person on the street or whatever, and I tell you, I got the friendly face, and they all just come up to me, you know, like I see him coming and try to like not look at him. So I'm like, shit, I know he gonna come ask me for something. But no matter who it is, if I got cash in my pocket, I'll give it to you. And she's like, he's just gonna go buy liquor, or he's just gonna go buy drugs, or he, you know, like you said, how do you know they not, you know, swindling you? And, you know, and in my mind it's,
you'd rather think the best.
In my mind, it's me not giving, me not being generous, me not trying to help somebody out is on me. I'm going to have to answer to, you know, later my on. Higher power later on for that. Now, if this person takes advantage of my generosity, if this person, you know, goes out and makes a poor decision with my generosity, that is on them. And they're going to have to answer to whoever they have to answer to one day. So I'm going to do what I feel is right. And if they take that and turn it into something wrong, that's on them. But I'm going to always err toward right, you know.
I can agree.
So I can go home. And so, I'm upgrading myself. So, I'm a pretty good fucking dude.
So that's how I've always looked at it. So that's why I got to pick and choose. Like, perfect example. when you get to the light and you stop at the light and then you got those couple of people that are just walking through the lanes asking for money, never give them money. You got on clean clothes, you got on clean shoes, you out here doing this for some extra. You know what I mean? Now when I get to the next corner and I'm about to merge, and that guy that's sitting there with the dog, and him and his dog is homeless, and they actually looking like they're living under the freeway. Man, I got a sandwich in the back. I got a cold water. Hold on. Let me throw a dollar in the bag with that. Here you go. Like, I can, like, you're actually down on your luck. That person walking with them with everything looking good, they might have had a bad day. You know, they might be in a shelter. They might still need help, but they need motivation more so than anything else. They need some empowerment. You know, good job, guy, you know, whatever, whatever. But this person actually needs a meal. I'm going to give the meal to the person who actually needs the meal. Is it my place to pick and choose and say who's more worthy? No, but it's absolutely my sandwich and my dollar. And I can pick who I want to give it to.
I feel you. All right, so funny story, you know, since we're talking about homeless people. Because, you know, you see some humdingers in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And they got motherfuckers in these signs. But the other day, me and Tanya, and we was beefing.
I bet y'all know which one it's going to be.
Like, we was in the car and like angry at each other, but we pulled up and it was this dude, and he said something like, his sign had something to the effect of a homeless couple, please help, but it was just him. Mm-hmm. But it looked like he either had like a stuffed bra on, and he had some Daisy Duke. You could see the motherfucker's balls. you could see his balls in the shorts. And I just looked at Tammy and like we almost reconnected in a moment, you know, mm-hmm. in the middle of our beef, because we're like, what the fuck is this? And for some reason, to me, if you have like that kind of time and creativity to put into your plea for a dollar, you probably, I don't know. I can't support that.
So I'm almost the opposite, because it's like, so I saw one. The one I thought you were going to mention, because I've seen that one.
Yeah.
The one I thought you was going to mention was the dude who made the book out of cardboard and Sharpie.
Yeah, he'd be flipping.
Yeah, he'd be
different signs. Yeah,
flipping the pages. So you'll walk up and he just has a big sign that says, "Hi, I'm homeless. Do you have a dollar?" And then turn a page. "I know you saw the sign, but you turned your head. It's okay. But do you have a dollar?" Turn the page again, and every page,
I don't guilt trip me.
Like says something. So it's not that he's guilt tripping me, but at the end of the motherfucking book, it's like, damn, you had all this fucking time on your hands to write a fucking book. You could have been out here legitimately doing something to earn money.
Yeah.
At the same time, that was funny as shit. So here's a dollar.
I guess I will pay to be entertained. I will pay to be entertained.
I mean, like,
if you're gonna tell me a story, make it a good one.
Yeah.
Make it a good one. All right, so let's do real quick. Let's do grades and relationships. You go first on this one.
Once again, I got to preface this. I'm not an asshole.
Because Renee is going to be on the show at some point in the future.
I'm going to try to be honest. I'm between like a C++ and like a strong B. All
right. So you're between a programming language.
Nah, you know what? I'm gonna give myself a B-. I think I'm a strong B- in relationships, and I know what my faults are. Just an asshole.
I'm a D again. I think poorly of myself.
I think you're undergrading yourself.
I have a real like bad self-image. Like, I think pretty poorly of myself. But I'm a hard person to be in a relationship with.
If I'm a B, you gotta be a B.
I don't know. Nah, you go way too far. Tammy already know. Half the shit you do, don't even look at me like that. Like, and that's the problem. Like, I come with all that. I'm not affectionate. I have to, you know, I've had to learn how to be affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
I think my daughter is like pulling it out of me. Like, you know, like, you just pause. This is hard, you know, to be around, you know, your baby girl and not turn into that. You're mushy yourself. But yeah, it's hard. Like, I give Tammy all the credit in the world for sticking with me, you know, this long. I mean, I married her because I looked around after all the foul stuff we've been through, after all of the crazy shit that I've done, and after everything she experienced. You know, when I was at my lowest point, I looked up and who was there? And it was Tammy. So it's like, you know, I don't know how she stays with me.
It's got to be something worth saving.
Thank God that she does.
She not doing all that, she not doing all of that for a D.
She might. All right, pause.
I didn't realize it after I said it. My bad. I mean, well, you know, that's how we got a lease.
But again, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm trying to be a better husband. But yeah, I'm a D right now. And I might be like my humble side, you know, trying to. Mm-hmm. All right, so I think that's been enough time for this week. Let us know in your comments how you rate yourself morally and in relationships. Let us know what you feel about Charlottesville or Marshawn Lynch or Bennett or white bald or whatever, or homeless people. I don't know. Just talk to us. Say something to a nigga every once in a while. But anyway, a lot of darkness out there. Fuck it, be the light.
Be the light.
Peace.